Thanks for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Luke 11, especially these words. Jesus said, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" So far our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can see the theme of the day, can't you? Abraham asks, not just once, but it's almost like he's bargaining with God. 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10? How many, God, must there be before you'll save the city? Abraham bargains God all the way down to, if there's only 10, God, then save Sodom. Abraham's prayer was heard. All of his bargainings, whether they were sinful or righteous, were heard. And God listened and answered. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and it's working, isn't it? Well, God destroyed the city of Sodom in the next chapter. Maybe that wasn't what Abraham was really asking, though. Abraham had one particular person in mind when he was praying, when he was bargaining. Lot, his nephew, and Lot's family, his wife and his two daughters. Lot was righteous in that city, one of the only people, and God spared Lot and his daughters because of Abraham's bargaining. Abraham didn't get what he asked for. The city was not saved, but Abraham received back his dear friend Lot, and Lot's family. Prayer is powerful. The disciples come to Jesus and ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. Sounds like a very basic question, doesn't it? Don't they know? Of course they do. The Jewish people in the first century, they knew how to pray. They'd pray in synagogue all the time, and they'd pray in their homes, and wherever they were, of course. But what the disciples are really asking, Jesus, teach us your prayer. In the first century, every rabbi had his own prayer. John had his prayer, and his disciples learned it, and you would learn to recognize those disciples by that prayer. So Jesus' disciples want their own prayer, right from their rabbi, that others would be able to recognize them by that prayer and their rabbi. And so Jesus does. He teaches them how to pray. When you pray, say. We know that prayer. We're recognized by that prayer, aren't we? Absolutely. It's the Lord's Prayer, the one that we pray all the time. In every worship setting, there it is. After our council or elders or trustee meetings, there it is. All over. At home, with family, with friends. There it is. Jesus invites us to pray, to ask, to petition, to beg God for whatever is on our heart or mind. That God would save a loved one, as Abraham asked for. That God would help us, as so many saints have prayed for. That God would do what He desires, as Jesus prays for. Thy will be done. Isn't that what Jesus prays over and over there in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will, but yours be done. And so also our prayers should be reminded that it's His will. For God knows what is best for us in every case. whether it's to answer our prayers in the affirmative and give us what we're asking for, or to give us that negative answer. No, that's not the best thing for you. We are taught how to pray. And even more, we're taught who our Heavenly Father is. If you on earth know how to give good gifts to your children, even though you are evil, says Jesus, how much more will your Heavenly Father give to you what is good and right? As we pray, we learn to rely on God to give us what we need day by day, whether it's our daily bread, whether it's the forgiveness of our sins, whether it's the strength to forgive someone else. Whatever it might be, we learn to rely upon God, as the Israelites were forced to learn coming up out of Egypt. They were in the desert. They had to rely on God each day for that manna and quail. They had to rely on God for mercy and grace, that God would lead them in love to the promised land. So also in prayer are we taught to rely on God, our Heavenly Father. We know His character. You know His character. He is perfect and holy in all of His decrees, every one of them, and His demands for you, well, that you would be perfect too. You are His people, a holy people, and He expects the best from you and out of you because you are His creation. But you know the truth. So often we have sinned against God and those around us. We don't deserve His grace or mercy. How many sins will you forgive God? 10, 20, 30, 45, 50, all of them, every last one He forgives. We see how much God loves us as we look at the cross. There we see the love of God on display as nowhere else, as the Son Himself dies in our place under our punishment. Thy will be done, Jesus had prayed, and it was done there on the tree. The Father's will to punish His Son in your place, that your sins would be passed by and put on Jesus, and that you would be forgiven. There, God is love. We know that. Jesus comes to us through baptism, word, and supper. He comes to us as He came right before Abraham, as He was standing right by those disciples. He comes to you to hear your prayers and your petitions. Whatever is on your heart or mind, He wants to hear because He is your Father. He will never disappoint you. He will never forsake you or leave you. He listens to every petition you pray, and He knows before you even speak them what they are. He might not always say yes, but He will always do what is best for you in each and every case. He gives you His dear Son. He begins that relationship with you. He speaks and speaks and speaks to you through His word, that you would speak back to Him in prayer and petition, begging and pleading and not stopping, but continuing, for He hears and answers. In the name of Jesus, Amen.